86. I started the psalm on Wednesday night and really enjoyed preaching introduction to the psalm and the first few verses of the psalm. And I have been contemplating for the last few days whether to preach from this psalm this morning or this afternoon, or to preach from Philippians this morning, or vice versa. But I believe this is what the Lord would have us to do this morning. So, Psalm 86, I'm going to read the first seven verses of the psalm. In the first seven verses of the psalm, we see the prayer of the psalmist, and I certainly want to read that, make mention of some things. We'll pray together and ask the Lord to help us this morning. I want to be a blessing to you. I want to be a help to you. And I can't do that in and of myself. It takes the Lord to do that. But certainly is a great psalm. It is a prayer of David. The Bible says in Psalm 86, verse number 1, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me." I mentioned I was going to read the first seven verses, but I think I'll just read the entirety of the psalm. Verse number 8, it says, "Among the gods," notice the small g, not deity, "there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me. The assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord," man, what a blessing, "art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. Shew unto me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hoped in me and comforted me." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Bible. I thank you for the opportunity to read a portion of the scripture this morning, to read a psalm. I thank you for the good day that we've had thus far, the Sunday school hour and the singing, the fellowship with God's people. And Lord, we've come to the preaching part of the service this morning, and I sure need your help. I must confess, Lord, I'm torn between what to preach this morning. Not that there I don't have anything to preach, but there's so much to preach, you don't know where to start. And Lord, I pray that you would help me this morning to say those things that will be useful and that will be helpful and that will be needful in this hour. I sure am glad, Lord, in your admonition through the Apostle Paul to young Timothy, you said, "Preach the word." And Lord, I pray you'd help me this morning to preach the word. And I sure thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And this great psalm of David, this is one of only five psalms of the 150 psalms that is labeled a prayer. Three of those five psalms are psalms of David. One is a prayer of the afflicted and one is a prayer of Moses. Even though the psalms are full of prayers, there are only 5 that are labeled or titled as a prayer. And David here is interceding. He is asking God to help him. He lets us in just a little bit on verse number 14 of the trouble that he has, of the problem that he has. He said, "The proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them." He doesn't spend a lot of time talking about his enemies. In fact, it's verse 14 before he mentions what the trouble is and what the problem is. But he does spend a great deal of time praying, and he takes a great deal of time to tell who God is, and he takes a good deal of time to exalt the Lord and magnify Him for who He is. And that's a great blessing. So we see in verse number 1, he asks God to bow down his ear, to come down to him. He said, "For I am poor and needy." And I'm glad that when we humble ourselves, and regardless of our stature, David is a man after God's own heart. David is a king. David is a mighty man. David has many great accomplishments, a great leader. And yet in spite of all of those accolades, he realizes that he is just poor and needy. And I promise you that regardless of what we may have obtained in this life or acquired or whatever status we may have achieved or have not achieved, all of us are poor and needy. We're poor spiritually, and we're in great need of God's help. Now, verse number 2, and I'm just going through this briefly. I want to get to verse number 5. That's where we finished at on Wednesday night. He said in verse number 2, "Preserve my soul, for I am holy." Now, in verse number 1, he made mention of being poor and needy. And so in verse number 2, when he said, "I am holy," he didn't change his mind. He didn't all of a sudden decide that, wait a minute, I am not so poor and needy, I am holy. He is recognizing or making known to you and I, maybe I should say, his position that he has in God. You and I that are saved, we are referred to oftentimes in the New Testament as saints. We're sons of God. And yet we can hardly recognize that at all about ourselves. But I'm glad that my position in Christ, I am a child of God. I am a saint of God. And so David is interceding to God. He admitted his position as far as being poor and needy, his situation. But he made known to God that he also is holy. And he said, "O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee." He recognized, or he made known to you and I, that the God, and he is God alone. He mentions later in this psalm, is not just God, but he's his God. He's a personal God. To that God, he said, "I am thy servant, and I trust in thee." I'm glad that God, we can start doing business with God. When we humble ourselves, we begin to exalt the fact and make known the fact that He alone is God and He is my God. I am His servant. I am trusting in Him. Business starts to pick up. Amen. And so then in verse number 3, He said, "Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto Thee daily." This psalm is full of the mercy of God. I don't have my notes in front of me. I finally am going to try to start preaching out of one of my many new Bibles. And I have one of them this morning, and I don't have any of my notes in it. And so if I remember correctly, I think verse 3, verse 5, verse 13, maybe verse 15 as well, the Bible speaks here. David mentions the mercy of God. I do like the fact that in verse number 3, he asked God to be merciful unto him. And he made mention to us, as he does repeatedly in the psalm about his prayer, he said, "For I cry unto thee." Look at verse 13. In verse number 3, he said, "Be merciful unto me." In verse number 13, he said, "For great is thy mercy toward me." Ain't that a blessing? I'm glad we can ask for God's mercy and we can recognize the mercy of God. In verse number 4, he said, "Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." I'm glad that God can rejoice our soul. There may not be a lot for us to rejoice about many times in the flesh or bodily, but I'm glad that my soul is rejoicing in the good things of the Lord. He makes mention of lifting up his soul. Oftentimes we are guilty of lifting up our flesh or exalting our flesh or exalting our physical life or needs before God. But David is in a time, in a trouble, and in a place where he recognizes that he is poor and needy. He needs the mercy of God. He cries out to God daily. And he said, Lord, I'm lifting up my soul to you because my soul needs some rejoicing. I'm glad the Lord can rejoice the soul. Now, in verse number 5 is where we got to. And he said, for thou, Lord, art good. He is definitely a good God. There's no doubt about that. He is a great God. Verse 15 says that He's a God full of compassion, and He's gracious, and He's long-suffering, and He's plenteous in mercy. He's a good God. When He says something next in verse number 5 that I want to zero in on today with the help of the Lord, David said in verse number 5, for Thou, Lord, art good, and then notice this phrase, and ready to forgive. Ain't that a blessing? Now, I'm glad that God is ready to forgive. Now, the word ready has several definitions. And David first mentioned that the Lord is good. And one of the reasons that He is good is because He is ready to forgive. And so, the word ready, it means prepared. I can give you an example of that. I'll use an example for each of these definitions for ready. An example says, I am ready to work, or I am prepared to work. It means prepared. I have made the proper preparations, therefore I am ready to work. Now, so it means prepared, but it also means promptly or quickly. And because preparations have been made, I am ready to work now. I've made the proper preparations. I am prepared. We don't have to delay. We don't have to wait. We can do that now. We can take care of that right now. The word also, ready, also means willingly. I have made the preparations. I am prepared to go now. I am ready to go now. But you can be prepared and you can be ready and you cannot be willing. And so the Lord is ready to forgive. He's prepared to forgive. He is willing to do that promptly or quickly. And not only is He prepared and willing to do, and ready to do it quickly, He is willing to forgive. Aren't you glad that God is willing to forgive? Jesus is ready to forgive. He made the necessary preparations, and He will forgive quickly and promptly, and He forgives willingly. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about forgiveness. There are many places and many passages in the Bible that we could turn to and talk about the forgiveness of God. But I want to look at a passage this morning that would not only show to us in a parable how that God forgives, how the Lord forgives, but also how that you and I should also be ready to forgive. You see, many times we, and rightly so, we rejoice in the fact, we are excited about the fact that our Savior is willing and ready and prepared to forgive, but oftentimes we are not so willing. And we are not so prepared, and we are not so ready to forgive. But we ought to be, amen. And so I'm glad that that is the case with the Lord. He is willing and ready to forgive. Now, look, come with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And I may, in a moment, mention several of things. David is pleading with God. He is crying unto the Lord. I think 3 times in the Psalms it makes mention of him praying. And he is asking God for mercy. And he mentions the fact that God is ready to forgive. I promise you, if there's anyone in the Bible that is familiar with the fact that God is ready to forgive, it would certainly be David. And he is the man who had committed sins and crimes, that there were no sacrifice under the law that could be offered for his forgiveness, and yet the Lord put away his sin. Boy, ain't that a blessing? What a blessing that God is ready to forgive. But look at this passage in Matthew. Matthew chapter 18, look at verse number 21. The Bible says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till 7 times. So in this verse here, Matthew 18:21, Peter asked the Lord 2 questions. The first question that he asks is, Lord, how all shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Now listen, I believe this is important. I think Peter already knew, in fact, from the wording of the text, Peter already knew that he was obligated to forgive him. He didn't ask if he had to forgive his brother. He asked, how oft must I forgive him? Now, I believe it is quite possible that Peter had learned this earlier. It's in Matthew chapter 5 where we read of him following the Lord, or Matthew chapter 4, maybe it is. I believe that's it. And then in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that's recorded in chapter 5, 6, and 7, in Matthew chapter 6, look what Jesus said. Now, hold your place in Matthew 18. We're coming right back. I'm just showing you where Peter probably learned this great need of being forgiven or forgiving. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, those are some very powerful words by the Lord Jesus in that Sermon on the Mount. So that's probably where Peter learned that, and he's questioning the Lord now in chapter 18. Now, the word forgive, according to Webster's 1828 dictionary, it means to pardon. It means to remit as an offense or a debt. It means to overlook an offense or treat the offender as not guilty. Well, I tell you, I am glad that because I have been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ, though I am guilty, my sins have been forgiven, and He sees me as no longer being guilty, but as being forgiven. What a blessing. Now, I like this. I'm not a proponent in any way of necessarily of someone that I quote, but I do have lots of good quotes from a lot of different people. And so whatever you think of this man, that's between you and the Lord. But Matthew Henry said this about forgive. He said, not to bear a grudge, not to meditate revenge, forget the injury. Now listen to this. This is it right here. Be as good a friend as ever. Now, I tell you, the Lord forgave you and I, and it is asked of us to also forgive others. Now, look if you will. Notice the second question. Come back to Matthew 18, and we're looking at verse 21. So he said, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how all shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? The second question he asked is till seven times. And so he said, how all shall I forgive? And then Peter said, you know, I think I'll answer my own question with a question. Will seven times be sufficient? Can I just say before I even begin making any comment about that, I'm glad the Lord didn't say, I tell you what, Tim, I'll forgive you seven times. And that's it. Boy, would I be in trouble. And so I'm glad the Lord didn't say, yes, seven times is sufficient. That's all that's required. That's all I'm going to forgive. Man, if they need any more than that, they'll just have to seek it from somewhere else. I'm glad that wasn't his answer, amen. In fact, his answer is this. Now, Peter, I don't know where Peter came up with this. Perhaps he learned it from Proverbs. You don't have to turn there, but the Bible says this in Proverbs 24 and verse number 16. It says, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall in the mischief. And so maybe Peter thought, well, if a just man falls seven times, maybe we can forgive him seven times. But that wasn't the Lord's answer. In fact, Jesus answered Peter's question in the next verse. Look at verse 22. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, I personally do not believe that Jesus specifically meant that after 140 times, although that would be very impressive, if you could forgive somebody 140 times. I commend you. I'm glad the Lord has forgiven me more than 140 times. But I would commend you if you would be able to do that. But I don't think the Lord was particularly making mention or made that comment because there is a specific number of times that we should forgive or that the Lord will forgive us. I think He's speaking of unlimited forgiveness. I think He's talking about having no boundaries or how much or how often we are to forgive. Now, when we are thinking about you and I being asked to forgive others, those things seem astronomical, unreasonable, and certainly no humanly way possible for us to do that. I want to tell you, when we look at it from the Lord's point of view and we realize how poor and needy that we are and how much of the mercy of God that we need, and we understand how compassionate He is, how good He is, how long-suffering, and He's plenteous in mercy, you and I rejoice that God would not stop at 7 times or 140 times, but that His forgiveness is boundless. Amen. What a blessing. Praise God for that great truth. Now, what he said here, we go on to look at that, and we see he said until 70 times 7. And, you know, it doesn't go well with you and I when we try to keep a record of how many times that someone has wronged us or offended us or done us wrong, or that they have caused us some type of injury, and we begin to keep a record, you know, well, you know, maybe 7 times. I'm going to write, maybe 140 times. I'm going to write. No, we ought to be, it doesn't sit well with us when we have that kind of mentality or that kind of attitude. Now, in the remainder of Matthew chapter 18, Jesus gives his commentary on those two verses. Now, look what he says that we just looked at, verses 21 and 22. Look at verse 23. In verse 23, Jesus said, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants." Now, do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ takes account of his servants? I believe the Lord is, I'm glad he's forgiving, I'm glad he's merciful. I also believe he holds us accountable. And so he takes account of the servant, the Bible says in verse 23. Verse 24 says, "And when he had begun to reckon," that word reckon means to count, "and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. I'll tell you something, I don't know how much, I didn't look it up, I didn't try to figure out how much it was. I have no idea how much 10,000 talents would be in our modern money system. I have no idea how much it would be, but I promise you this, whatever it is, how large an amount it is, how great of amount it is, how astronomical the amount is, I have no idea, but I know this. I owe God more than that. I am a greater debtor to the Lord Jesus Christ than this man, than this servant who owed his Lord 10,000 talents. I owe the Lord more than that." Amen. Now, look what he says in verse number 25. "But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made." Can I just tell you something, brother, sister? Here we are, right here. We had no hope. We were broke with no hope. We had no way to repay God. We had no way to get to God. There was nothing that we could do. We were sold under the slavery of sin. We were doomed and on our way to hell without as much as a water gun to defend ourselves when we got there. But I'm glad that we have a God who is ready to forgive. And the moment that we recognize our condition and we cried out to God, I am so thankful that He is willing to forgive. Now, look at the next verse. Look at verse 26. The servant, just like you and I, he had no way to pay. He was going to lose everything. He was going to be sold. His wife was going to be sold. His children was going to be sold. All that he had so that payment can be made. Can I tell you something? Sin will cost you everything. Sin will not just destroy you. It will destroy those dear to you. Sin in your life, well, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, and no man liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. The servant's sin that owed his master was going to go, his debt, his payment was going to go beyond him. It was going to reach out to others, and so he did the only thing that he could possibly do, and the only thing that you and I can do in that case, and that is we began to beg for help from the Lord. And that's what he does, amen. The Bible says in verse number 26, "The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. You see, the servant responded in humility. He recognized his condition. He understood that he owed a debt that he could not pay. He realized that the debt that he owed was going to cost him more than himself. It was going to cost him his family. It was going to cost him everything that he owned and everything that he had ever held dear. And so he did the only thing that he could do, and he begged God to have mercy. He sought mercy and forgiveness from the Lord. Now here's what I like. He didn't make excuses. He didn't say, Lord, it's been dry and the crops have been bad. He didn't say, Lord, the stock market is down and I haven't been able to make it. He didn't say, Lord, the factory's closed and I hadn't been able to go to work. He didn't say, Lord, the economy. He didn't say, I've been sick and I haven't. No, he made no excuses. He simply pleaded for the mercy of his Lord. You know when you'll get saved? When you quit making excuses. When you get to the place where you realize that you're lost and you're headed to hell and you deserve to go there and you owe a debt that you cannot pay by yourself and there's no way you can make it up and there's no way you can work it out and there's nothing you can do to get there on your own. You simply fall at the mercy of the Lord and then you rejoice in the fact that, hey, He's ready to forgive. Amen. Thank God He's ready to forgive. Now, he's not seeking sympathy and he's not offering excuses. He is seeking an exemption from his debt. I'm glad that I got an exemption from my debt. I didn't get an exemption because I earned it. I didn't file for an extension and was given one. No, friend, I pleaded for mercy and the blood was applied. Amen. And the sin debt is gone. What a blessing. Now, look at this. Verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. What did the psalmist say? That he is full of compassion. And so the Bible says here that the servant was moved with compassion and he loosed him and he forgave him the debt. Forgiven. Set free. That's me. Hallelujah. I couldn't pay. Still can't pay. I have nothing to offer. But I'm glad that the Lord is faithful and merciful and willing and ready to forgive. Now, so we rejoice in that. I rejoice in that. If you're saved, you rejoice in that great truth. We just can hardly believe how good that God is that He would forgive us. Now look what happens after this. And I'm afraid that so many times our life mirrors the life of this servant. He owed a debt that there was no way he could pay. It was going to cost him his life, the life of his wife and his children and all that he owned. And the only thing that he could do was plead the mercy of the Lord, and the Lord helped him. But I want you to notice what he does in return. Look at verse 28. But the same servant went out. That's the same one. It was just forgiven. And found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and he took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant done the same thing that he had done. And he fell down at his feet, and he besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into the prison until he should pay the debt. So here, this man that was just forgiven a great debt, 10,000, whatever it was, 10,000 talents. And so now a man owes, he's been forgiven. What, man, what a blessing. And so here, his servant owes him 100 pence. Again, I didn't do the math. I didn't try to figure out how much that was monetarily in our day as far as the difference in the amount, but far less. This man owed him far less. Now, I want you to think about the Lord, when this man came to him owing him 10,000 talents, the Lord didn't take him by the throat. But this man, having been forgiven, a man owed him far less than that, and he takes him by the throat and he's not willing to forgive. Do you see how hypocritical that is? Just a few minutes earlier, you're shouting, "Hallelujah, I've been forgiven a debt I couldn't pay. I mean, I'm glad God forgives more than 7 times 7. I'm glad He doesn't stop at 140. I'd still be in trouble. I'm glad He's plenteous in mercy. I'm glad He's ready to forgive. I'm glad He forgives over and over and over and over and over. I'm not making an excuse for being wrong or sinful. I'm just telling you that in our very best state, all of our righteousness is filthy rags, and we need the mercy of God, and we're so grateful that He forgives. But how dare you to say one cross word to me? I'll take you by the throat and I'll hold you up over that debt and I'll kick you to the curb because you're nothing." Can I just be really blunt with you for just one moment? That's somebody that's really unthankful for what God has done for them. The only way you can respond with that kind of attitude and that kind of mentality is that you're not really all of that thankful for what God has done for you. Well, we'd all be in hell if it wasn't for the Lord. And so we see that the Lord is ready to forgive. The Lord is compassionate. He's ready to forgive. And many of us here today have experienced that great forgiveness. And praise the Lord for that. I'm thankful for it. But what about you and me? Are we also ready to forgive others that trespass against us? I sure hope we are. Amen. If you're here today and you're lost, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, He's ready to forgive you. He is simply waiting for you to recognize your sin has separated you from God. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That's physical death eventually, and that's eternal life. And that's eternal death. The Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 8, that is a death that you never recover from. You spend eternity separated from God in a Christless lake of fire. I'm telling you, you need to be saved. God's ready to forgive if you'll come to Him, amen. And if you are already His child, and you have sinned, or if you're living in sin, I'm glad the Lord is ready to forgive you. The Bible said if we would confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We won't take the time this morning, but we've done it before. We've been through Psalm 51. What a great psalm it is. But man, you're talking about someone. David is also the author of this psalm, human author of this Psalm 86. And he is praying and asking God for mercy. But man, you're talking about somebody that need, now this is for a whole different situation in Psalm 86, but David had an affair, an adulterous affair with a man's wife and then had that man killed. And Psalm 51, he writes begging God to forgive him and God forgives him. You say, "Preacher, I don't know about that." I'll tell you right now, I'm glad God is a forgiving God. And He's ready to forgive. Regardless of what it is in your life, I'm glad the Lord is ready, willing, and able to forgive you. Now, come back to Psalm 86. Look at verse number 5. I got a little secret for y'all. Y'all can't see it. It's behind you. But that clock on the wall has not moved since I got here this morning. Just thought I'd let y'all in on that secret. Amen. So Psalm 86, look at verse number 5. He said, "For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee." So He's plenteous in mercy. It's another good place to mention how God forgives sin. And we talked about David's sin already. But notice the word all. He is and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Him. Bible says in Romans, I believe it's 10:13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He is ready to forgive. Now, look at verse number 6, and I'll find a stopping place here in a minute. In verse number 6, he said, "Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication." Now, again, as we've seen numerous times before here, he's facing some kind of problem, some kind of trouble, and he knows exactly what to do. He calls on the Lord and he asks the Lord to attend to his supplication. Now, this type of prayer is a favorite of David's. Look at Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Now notice the prayer in verse number 6. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplication. Look at this, Psalm 55, also a Psalm of David. Look what he says in verse number 1. Almost the same thing. He said, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Look at Psalm 54. Sorry to go backwards, but look at Psalm 54. Look at verse number 2. He said, hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. Just one more and we'll move on. Look at Psalm 61. This seems to be a favorite prayer of David. Look what he says. Hear, Psalm 61, verse number 1. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. And so I'm glad that we can cry out to the Lord and we can ask the Lord to hear our prayer and attend His voice to our supplication. Now, come back to Psalm 86. I believe this next verse will show us why this prayer seems to be one that David prays often. Look at verse number 7. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon Thee, for Thou wilt answer me. David has absolute confidence that the Lord will answer when he calls in the time of trouble. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, it says, but without faith it's impossible to please God. David recognizes his condition. He knows that God will hear when he cries. And not only does he know that God will hear, he knows that God will answer. Amen. And so the Lord has answered numerous prayers for David in the past. He's confident that he'll do that again. Can I say that the Lord has answered numerous prayers for me in the past? And I know he'll do it again. The Lord's answered numerous prayers, no doubt, for you in your life. And so why do we get so uptight and so anxious and so discouraged at times? God has heard and answered our prayer before, and He doesn't change, amen. He'll do it again. Now, I could mention several verses here about this, and I might later. But I want to say this, and I'll stop for today. Look at verse number 7 again. David said, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon Thee, for Thou wilt answer me. Can I say this morning, if you're not saved, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You may not realize that you're in trouble, but you're in trouble. You're in great trouble. But I'm glad that the Lord is faithful. And if you'll call out to Him, He'll save you. Amen. I know that oftentimes we make salvation way more complicated than it is. But I believe if the Lord is speaking to someone's heart and dealing with them about their need of a Savior, He is convicting them of their sin. They recognize they are a sinner. I want to tell you, salvation is just simply trusting the Lord Jesus Christ that He will do exactly what He said He would do. He'll save you. Amen. What a blessing. I'll get the piano player to come this morning. Thank you so much for being with us and listening to preach this morning. I'm glad God is ready to forgive. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a few moments.